Can you hear now? Okay. Joe will be back on Sunday with James. I'm going to finish Jude soon. We're going to get through verse 19 tonight and into verse 20, I promise. Couple quick announcements. Please add to your prayer list Taylor Williams. His pastor, Taylor Williams, and his wife, Marilyn, are both in hospice. Please pray for them as they prepare to meet their Savior. It's another pastor going home to be with the Lord. And we have people in this congregation who attended Taylor's church in the past. So please add Taylor and Marilyn Williams to your prayer list. Also, people ask about the upload to the prisoner tablets. We have one day of data. On our first day live, we had 606 Bible classes were opened on the first day in 121 different facilities. Of those, 179 were completed start to finish in 56 different facilities. So don't laugh, but the best going study is a class I taught here, Boys to Men. I know it seems funny, but it's been the number one item so far. And it's not in one specific location. As I said, 121 different facilities from Arkansas to South Dakota to Wyoming, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, all over America. And only four facilities out of the 121 do we have a presence in. So that means 118 facilities, 117 facilities opened Bible studies for the first time and heard Bible doctrine for the first time. That's one day. So that's pretty exciting. Okay, rebound if necessary, clear the decks mentally. You have to look at me for an hour, and I know that'll be a problem, and I'll open in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to fellowship in your word tonight. May we concentrate and focus as we continue to learn the warnings from the letter of Jude. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I hope you're as excited as I am. I can't wait to check tonight for the next update. We're going to get it every day. We left off, I asked you if you knew you were rich. And I said, you may be poor as a church mouse, but you're rich. And I quoted Ephesians 1:3, you have riches and glory in heavenly places. So you have Bible doctrine, which is a great riches in this world. People don't even know you and they hate you because you're rich. Point one, the false teachers hate you and so they seek to divide and destroy you. Two, the more your spiritual life suffers, the more you will be vulnerable to the false teachers. Three, when believers fail to grow in grace and they remain ignorant of doctrine and void of the spiritual life, they have not taken advantage of their equal opportunity and equal privileges and the resources they have. They are vulnerable to exploitation. Remember last week we covered equal opportunity and equal privilege for all believers? And by the way, false teachers will take advantage if you're not taking advantage of the assets given to you. Four, the false teachers insert false doctrine into the vacuum of the soul, that empty space in the soul which is not filled with all the fullness of God, as Ephesians 3:19 calls it. Right here in the right lobe, you don't have doctrine pouring in here in the frame of reference. There's a vacuum. And you're going to suck in doctrines of demons, as Paul calls it in writing to Timothy, into that vacuum. The false teachers promote a lack of growth through false doctrine. The false teachers can speak falsehoods, but those falsehoods will fall on deaf ears unless there is an interest. Got to be interested. If you're not, six, for believers who have no doctrine, there will be no interest. I'm sorry, for believers who have Bible doctrine, there will be no interest in the falsehood. You'll recognize it. It's the ones who don't have an interest in Bible doctrine who are ripe and vulnerable to false teachers. And seven, and so the false teachers will promote antagonism between mature and immature believers, where there should be tolerance and impersonal love, not antagonism. Eight, only growing believers adhering to the truth, developing impersonal love for all, will preclude divisiveness between believers. You're not using your impersonal love in the royal law, you're going to have antagonism and divisiveness between believers. So Jude 19 cites at least one result of the effective infiltration of false teachers. We have seen their characteristics. We have seen the problems that the church has with these various characters. And we can't forget that the beginning in verse 17, Jude is dealing with our defense as believers, defense from false teachers and their false doctrine. And we must remember that we're dealing with the defense of remembering. Remember, Jude says, remember, call this to mind. The apostles taught it to us. Now you need to remember it. Remembering the Bible doctrine that has been taught by the apostles to the churches in which Jude is writing and telling them, remember. This is really Bible doctrine which the believers have metabolized, that which they have learned, so now apply it to the falsehoods that they are hearing. And as we've seen, it's our first line of defense, the grace apparatus for perception. And we're going to go through this tonight as we tie all the pieces together in verse 19. All the way from the right lobe through the stream of consciousness, all the way down into your flat line. As the flow of doctrine increases, as this becomes a river as opposed to a dam, it will deflect the false doctrine coming into the soul. But this has to be open, flowing up here from gnosis to epinosis, then it flows into the stream of consciousness. Now Jude is telling us what happens when that defense fails, or when believers fail to utilize that defense. Jude 19, these are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. That's the New American Standard. The first result of their effective infiltrations and machinations is they cause divisions. First, we have the present active participle of the verb apartarizo, which means to separate or draw boundaries between or divisions. So let's get a few points on this. Point one. So divisions is the objective of false teachers. They want to get in the church. They want to divide and conquer. They want to divide or to separate believers from Bible doctrine, which is the source of their spiritual growth and their defense against falsehood. There's your defense. And we're going to see how it can be layered tonight. A good army has defense in layers. They don't just have one defense out there, because if you break through, they're going to overrun the command post. So we're going to get a second defense tonight, so it will help us understand what Jude is talking about here in Jude 19. They want to divide or to separate believers from Bible doctrine, which is their source of their spiritual growth and their defense against falsehood. They want to divide the believer from believer, injecting false doctrine so that some believers follow while others follow sound doctrine. Some people will follow the falsehood. Some people will stick with sound doctrine. Three, finally, their objective is to divide a pastor from his congregation, and it's called a church split. And there's plenty of those going on today. The real split in churches where a pastor is teaching doctrine and is undercut by false teachers are those who are spreading false doctrine within the church, and then the church splits. This has always been an objective of Satan. This is a battleground in the angelic conflict to divide and conquer believers. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, calls these doctrines the doctrines of demons, false doctrines. 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. So false doctrine, anything that opposes biblical doctrine, is the doctrine of demons because it opposes truth and accurate Bible teaching. Our battle in this world, part of the angelic conflict for each one of us individually, is the battle between advancing spiritually, utilizing the metabolizing of Bible doctrine as it flows through the stream of consciousness, vocabulary storage. We went through each one of these, momentum gate, wisdom. Utilizing the metabolizing of Bible doctrine as it flows through the stream of consciousness so that false doctrine does not blunt or nullify your advance. You start damming this off and nothing's flowing in there and your defenses are weakened. If it does, it will blunt our spiritual advance. We have been defeated in the angelic conflict. Damned off. Nothing flowing. Maybe a trickle. We become Christian casualties. And there are a lot of Christian casualties today. The message I'm going to teach at Breck is called The Christian Soldier. And Christian casualties are a big part of being a Christian soldier. Satan is quite often, especially in the time in which we live, very successful in his deceptions and false doctrines. This is the tactic that he uses that is very effective, especially when believers are negative to Bible doctrine or ignorant of Bible doctrine. Without spiritual growth and without Bible doctrine resident in the soul, right here, the believer will have a void, a vacuum, an emptiness in his or her soul. And it's an emptiness that is itching to be filled. I said you'll have a vacuum. It'll suck in false teaching. You won't have your guard up. It's got to be filled with something. If you're not filling it with Bible doctrine, something's filling that void in your soul. A believer's soul empty of doctrine means vulnerability to false teaching. In other words, the stream of consciousness is not flowing. It's dammed off and shut off. The new, the immature, the negative, the gullible, the ignorant believer is unable to differentiate between the false and the true. So what he accepts from teachers is based on a different criteria from those that have Bible doctrine. What's the criteria? A big one today is emotion. Sprinkling a little bit of doctrine, believer gets excited. Or another one is, I read this verse, what do you think, Fred? Oh, I think this. Oh, that makes sense. What do you think? So it's easy to slip in false teaching. Thus, these gullible believers will attach themselves to teachers who excite their emotions. But get this, but not their love of God's word and spiritual growth. The gullible believers will attach themselves to teachers who excite their emotions, but not their love of God's word and spiritual growth. So our translation of Jude so far, Jude 19, these apostates are those who cause divisions, troublemakers, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. So Jude 19 has two other words here. The next two words are very important for a basic understanding of the status and the operation of false teachers. The second word of verse 19 is they are worldly minded. Point one, worldly isn't referring to materialism or various lusts or sins. People use worldly all the time. It's kind of like holy. They use that all the time. We think of worldly out at being at a bar and drinking and carousing and all that. That's not what we're talking about. Two, the emphasis here on worldly is on thinking, the mental processes of the false teacher. Three, basically the worldly minded are those who are not spiritually minded. That's what Jude's addressing here. Seems obvious, but you have to understand what spiritually minded is. It's a spiritual advance. For they are not grounded in doctrine or growth in the spiritual life, these worldly minded. So worldly minded is a Greek noun, psychikos. And when we deal with psychikos, we're dealing with anthropology. When I say anthropology, I mean anthropology of man that's understood through theology, through the Bible. Who is the psychikos man? Well, we're going to look deep into your soul and see just who you are and how easy it is to be divided and worldly minded. It's a wedge that is driven between believers and churches when false doctrine infiltrates and are characterized by two qualities that are the cause for division. So the false teachers are worldly minded and they are devoid of the Spirit. Worldly is a word that has a connotation for most people of sinfulness, of materialism, of various lusts. But the emphasis here is on thinking. The mental process of the false teacher and the mental process of those who buy into their false teaching. Proverbs 23:7a is something you should always remember, since worldly minded deals with the thinking of false teachers. Proverbs 23:7a, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. This is a verse you should never forget. You are not what you think you are. You are what you think. If you want to know who you really are, it's what you think. It's not what you do, it's what you think. You can fake people out. You can do all that. But you are as you think. If a false teacher thinks worldly minded, then he cannot be spiritually minded. He cannot be grounded in Bible doctrine or lead believers into a spiritual advance. Some false teachers dabble in a little bit of Bible teaching, a little bit of information, just enough to suck you in. So when you leave, you say, Margaret, wasn't that a great class? I love that verse. I'm going to hang that on my refrigerator. The false teacher is driven by human viewpoint. That is the thinking of a false teacher, human viewpoint. They cannot help but think human viewpoint. They're psychikos. They're worldly minded. We're going to show you, back this up in just a second. In fact, as worldly minded, that's the only way the false teacher can think and the only way they can teach. The spiritual life is not in him. How can anyone teach the spiritual life when they have none? That's a two-faced teacher as far as doctrine is concerned. They have no spiritual life. If they are not advancing, they cannot bring you to a spiritual advance. If they're not growing in grace, taking in God's word every day, moving forward, how can they bring you to a spiritual advance? They can't. That's the problem with false teachers, and that's the problem for so many believers who follow them. They are not getting any true or accurate Bible doctrine. And this is the divide between how the false teacher thinks and how a doctrinally oriented believer thinks. The two are naturally divided by truth. It is the world of human viewpoint versus the world of divine viewpoint. One, in this context, psychikos is without salvation, without a human spirit. Say, how can you say that? Right here it is. Dead human spirit. When you're born, you have a body, a soul, and a dead human spirit. We're all born this way. Everybody. This is the person who only can think in terms of human viewpoint. The unbeliever can only think in terms of worldly knowledge. Why? ye have no human spirit. That's all they can think in. Who is the Holy Spirit going to teach? You don't have a human spirit. The Sukkikos man can only think in physical terms from the mentality of the soul. The soul has mentality. It has volition. It has a conscience. And it has a subconscious. It's an immaterial part. They can't cut you open and say, well, there's the heart and there's the lung. Oh, there's the soul. You can't do that. You can't say, oh, I cut the soul. Oh, I see, there's the mentality. It's an immaterial part. The Sukkikos man can only think in physical terms from the mentality of the soul. They can use the vocabulary, a spiritual vocabulary, but it has no meaning to them. Four, they don't have the capability to think in the spiritual realm. They can't understand Bible doctrine. They have no grace apparatus for perception. And this is just a teaching aid. But when the Logos, the pastor, teaches, the Holy Spirit takes it and teaches the human spirit. So if you're a Sukkikos man, dead in the water. Angels are unseen. Here's a great example. At least no one's seen them in the church age, but they're real. They appeared at the birth of our Lord. We can understand that. It's spiritual phenomenon. They can't. But the Sukkikos person cannot and will not understand Bible doctrine. It is foreign to them. So Sukkikos then is related to the difference between the dichotomous person and the trichotomous person. Now let's come to us. We were born, we had a body and a soul. And we had a dead human spirit right over here. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, activates our human spirit. We're regenerated. The barrier that was here is broken down. So we're trichotomous. The Sukkikos man is dichotomous. Dichotomous obviously is a person with two parts, body, soul. Trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. The parts indicated are the physical and the immaterial aspects of a person. Body, material. Some of us have great looking bodies. Some don't. We all have a soul. The body is physical, but there's an immaterial part of every human being. It's unseen. It's called the soul. And the Bible makes it clear that all men have a body and a soul. This is how we're created. We're all born dichotomous, body and soul. The Sukkikos is the dichotomous person who only has two parts, body and a soul, dead human spirit. And so the Sukkikos person is called the natural man. We're going to back that up in Scripture in just a second. Body and soul, natural man. There is a mentality of the soul. It is not physical. It is immaterial. It is not tangible. You can't put your hands on it. I said it earlier. You can't cut them open and say, I'm going to look at this person's soul. It's a sick place. Can't find it. But we are still, as human beings, all of us, all body and a soul. By definition, this natural man is without the ability to understand spiritual things. Go back to Operation Z. Pastor, teacher, Logos, Pneumatikos, the human spirit, and then the Holy Spirit teaches us. You can't teach if you got a dead human spirit. Natural because this is who we are at birth, and that's the difference. We're all this way at birth, and we're all this way after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We all, as believers, at the moment of regeneration, have a human spirit, but the psychikos person does not have that third immaterial part, which provides the ability to understand spiritual things. Operation Z. Can't understand this. It's just an example of how doctrine flows. Over here it's gnosis. Here it becomes epignosis in the cardia. And then it flows into the stream of consciousness. You develop vocabulary, categories. You gain momentum. You gain wisdom. That's what differentiates you from the worldly minded. You are spiritually minded because you possess this one immaterial aspect. You are trichotomous. Here we are. You possess a body, a soul, and a human spirit. By spiritual things, I mean information that comes from God, which we call divine revelation. Information provided by God about himself, about his plan, about our spiritual life, eternity, and many other subjects. Your pastor teacher teaches. He communicates. In other words, teaching from the Bible, which is the only source of divine revelation. You do realize that, don't you? The psychikos man cannot understand divine revelation. When we study the Word of God, we are learning beyond the natural world. We are involved in what may be called the supernatural world, simply meaning beyond the natural world. One, every human being is born into this world as psychikos, which is a human condition of the separation from God. And that's where the barrier comes in. We're separated from God. Until you exercise faith alone in Christ alone, and when you do, the barrier's taken down, and there you are. And then last week we looked at those 40 things that are given to us immediately. The natural man is the lost and condemned man. All of us at the moment we are born are lost, hopeless, and condemned. Adam's original sin is imputed to us. We have a sin nature. We are dichotomous with a sin nature and a dead human spirit. Four, so the psychikos, the dichotomous man, is the one who has no ability to appraise spiritual things. Five, the psychikos man is what we might call the soulish man, body and soul. So the psychikos man can only have a viewpoint that is apart from any spiritual understanding. He or she has no ability to process or to metabolize Bible doctrine. Why? No human spirit. So they can't process or metabolize Bible doctrine. I hope this is making sense. I'm trying to get it all clear. You were regenerated. So that's the meaning of the false teacher who is worldly minded. He is a psychikos man. And the concept of the natural or the psychikos man is expanded in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It defines the false teacher, and it defines what people are following today and why it's a dead end. Why a false teacher as a natural man, dichotomous, can never relate to a believer in Jesus Christ, the spiritual man, trichotomous. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man, there's our same word, Psychikos, natural man, right there it is, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. There you go. Backs up everything I just told you. So let's get a couple points on this. One, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That's the bottom line. They do not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? It's foolishness to him. That's what Paul says. Foolishness. The Psychikos man thinks they're stupid. Foolish. He can't understand them. Two, they are foolish and they cannot understand, and he cannot comprehend divine viewpoint as taught by God the Holy Spirit. They can't understand it. So if he can't comprehend that viewpoint, he can't accept those things. Right? And that's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 is saying. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Three, they dismiss spiritual things as foolish or a waste of time. They even become antagonistic towards spiritual things. Four, why are they not able to understand and why do they see doctrine as foolish? Because they are not spiritually appraised, Paul says. And they can't spiritually appraise. Why? They don't have a human spirit. They're dichotomous. Four, the natural man is missing something. Here's in a nutshell. What's he missing? An immaterial spiritual apparatus. The human spirit. That's what he's missing. This is why the Psychikos man cannot understand spiritual things, because they are not spiritually appraised. The Psychikos man is the dichotomous person. Just keep jumping back. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, Psychikos, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't not understand them because they are spiritually pneumatikos. Now let's go back over here. There's our word, pneumatikos. Right there. Because they are spiritually appraised. See how that works? No human spirit can't teach. Right there it is in 1 Corinthians 2:14, backing up what we said in Jude 19, pneumatikos. And that's the critical word. Five, Hebrews 4:12 confirms this division of soul and spirit. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, human spirit. See the lowercase s? Human spirit, not the Holy Spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the cardia. There it is in a nutshell. Six, in order to be trichotomous, you must have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, which makes you born again. Nicodemus asks, what did I need to do to be born again? John 3. I can't go back in my mother's womb. Well, it's just accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're regenerated. Boom, here you are, right over here. Jesus Christ takes your sins and he imputes his righteousness to you. And now you can have a relationship with God the Father. And you get a human spirit. He went from a dichotomous person, a body and soul and a dead human spirit, Nicodemus did, to a body, soul, and a human spirit. And everyone in this room that's accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior all over the world went from here to here. So it is only the regenerate, the spiritual person, who can understand the spiritual things of God because of that third part, the human spirit, which is from regeneration. In other words, only the believer, this is the point, only the believer can metabolize Bible doctrine. The worldly minded cannot do so. He or she does not have that ability without a human spirit. It doesn't work. Who in the heck is Tedasco, the Holy Spirit, going to teach if you don't have a human spirit? So, in other words, only the believer and only the believer only can metabolize Bible doctrine. The worldly minded cannot do so. He or she does not have that ability without a human spirit. This is what Jude 19 says. So to confirm this one more time, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2:13. And the Apostle Paul writes, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, right here. But in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You can't understand spiritual thoughts or spiritual words if you don't have a human spirit, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Holy Spirit? Right here. But those taught by the Spirit backs up everything in this Operation Z, first line, and what we've covered tonight so far. So which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Paul says, I'm not teaching you as a Sukkot people because you can't understand. That's man's wisdom. There are many subjects you can understand, but it isn't spiritual things. Paul says, I'm teaching you. I'm not teaching you human viewpoint. I'm teaching you what the Holy Spirit's teaching you is divine viewpoint. It's the Apostle Paul, but he's saying, Apostle Paul's speaking, but he's saying the Holy Spirit teaches. I'm giving you the information, Joe Griffin, but it's the Holy Spirit teaching it. That's what that verse says right there. We have a human being, the Apostle Paul teaching, but who does he say is really teaching? But in those taught by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And here is the Holy Spirit. And Paul says this is the teaching of a spiritual person. If you go back over here, it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Pneumatikos. One. The man without a human spirit, an unbeliever, is a Sukkot man. Two, the man who possesses a human spirit is the Pneumatikos man. Pretty simple way to remember it. Either one or the other. Dichotomous, Sukkot man. Trichotomous, Pneumatikos man. Need to make up a little chart. Have little people on them. The man who possesses a human spirit is a pneumatikos man. And this is theological anthropology. This is who you are as a human being in union with Christ. Three, you don't evolve from Sukkot to pneumatikos. You are regenerated at the moment of salvation. You don't work to get here. There's nothing you can do other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Four, pneumatikos is the spiritual truth, the truth that is taught, has a spiritual meaning, not for the Tsukikos man. The Tsukikos person cannot understand spiritual meaning and thinks it is silly, foolish, and ridiculous. There is no real meaning for a spiritual life to that person. Five, spiritual truth is possessed by a spiritual apparatus, the human spirit. Without the human spirit, none of this is possible. So can you see the difference between the two? Tsukikos and pneumatikos? You can understand academic knowledge as a Tsukikos man. No problem. People are a lot smarter than I am, have a great deal of knowledge. But it's human knowledge. It's not spiritual knowledge. It's not being taught from a pastor teacher. And the Holy Spirit takes it and teaches the human spirit. This is the whole picture of who you are and what you can do and why you can advance spiritually right here. But if you don't use it, you're going to be part of a division that doesn't advance spiritually. Got to use it. Got to go back over here. You got to have this stream flowing. What's the division? The worldly minded from the spiritually minded. Trichotomous against dichotomous. Human viewpoint against divine viewpoint. The worldly minded is the false teacher who leads only in worldly mindedness, and the believer who assimilates and metabolizes Bible doctrine. They're against that. It's a natural separation between the Tsukikos man and the Pneumatikos man. Basically, it's between true and false. The Tsukikos man, without the human spirit, can hear exactly the same doctrine that you're hearing, but it has no spiritual value for him because he doesn't believe it and he cannot process it, which is only because he has no human spirit, which, of course, comes from regeneration. So the natural man, as 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, has no spiritual understanding. The human spirit is the place where spiritual truth, pneumatikos, is learned. You're probably tired of this. There you go. And that's the procedure. So let's get a few more final points on worldly minded. One, the worldly minded Tsukikos man of Jude 19 has no human spirit. Two, he has no spiritual apparatus and therefore he cannot understand spiritual truth. Three, he can only communicate falsehood because he has no ability to metabolize truth. How can you communicate truth when it's got to be metabolized first? You can't. It's not there, it's meaningless. Four, without the human spirit, there's no metabolizing of truth. Five, so the Tsukikos man, the natural man, cannot have Bible doctrine in the soul. No human spirit. We're going to see that again in the next word that's going to be in our verse. They might be able to talk to you about the Bible. They can even debate you, the dichotomous person. Man, they know a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any Bible doctrine in their soul. What they have is book knowledge, academic knowledge. It's biblical truth is meaningless and foolishness, Paul told us. Six, so the false teacher without pneumatikos is teaching what is really beyond his understanding of spiritual truth. Seven, without pneumatikos, the false teacher can only divide those who don't have Bible doctrine, and that's exactly what Jude is warning the believers in those churches about, and by extension, to churches in our time today. He's still warning us. Spiritual truth appraised and metabolized versus information that cannot be processed
nor metabolized.
Good and evil.
That's not right. True and false. Why? It's nothing for the Holy Spirit to teach. They're unbelievers. False teacher, no grace apparatus for perception. Versus sound doctrinal pneumatikos. You take it in, you advance spiritually. You're the pneumatikos person. So simple. One, the psychikos can only think in terms of human viewpoint. He is otherwise known as the natural man. So he can only think in terms of humanism. Two, he has no capability to think in the spiritual realm, and we now know why. Three, he has no ability to appraise spiritual things. You do. You have that ability. He or she does not. Four, there can be no metabolized doctrine in the psychikos man, no doctrine at all. Five, the psychikos man cannot teach the spiritual life. And that is what is being referred to in Jude 19. The one who causes divisions, the false teacher, is worldly minded, psychikos man. That's what makes him a false teacher, and he cannot teach that which a believer must know, that which advances the believer in Jesus Christ and advances your spiritual life. We're all equal. In the Christian life, we all have a human spirit. This is the difference. The psychikos man can hear what I might say, but the psychikos man cannot have the Holy Spirit teach him. It won't happen. The psychikos man, as pointed out by Jude 19, can influence churches away from metabolizing Bible doctrine. If you understand all this, it's easy to see the third characteristic of Jude 19. As far as we've gone, these apostates are those who cause divisions, troublemakers, soulish, dichotomous, not trichotomous, devoid of the Spirit. I'm going to do something here and say something that I never thought I would stand here, but after studying, I'm going to make a statement here. It's pretty obvious there's a small problem here, devoid of the Spirit. If you look in the New American Standard and the NET Bible, it's a capital S, which of course that is being interpreted as the Holy Spirit. But is it the Holy Spirit here? Because we've just been studying the human spirit. And of course, both are represented in the New Testament by the same Greek noun. The Greek noun is the root word of pneumatikos, pneuma, and it means spirit, and it can represent the Holy Spirit or it can represent the human spirit. So the context in which that word pneuma is found determines which meaning it is. Taken with the context here of psychikos, versus pneumatikos, I'm going against those who say this is the Holy Spirit in this particular verse. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm very comfortable doing this because when it comes right down to it, it scarcely matters whether pneuma is interpreted as human spirit or Holy Spirit. It gets the same result. This is a case, the meaning of the verse holds true either way it's translated. Because you can't have one without the other. Two main ingredients of the apparatus, human spirit and the Holy Spirit. If one of them is taken away, you don't have the grace apparatus for perception. So either way this is translated, it really doesn't matter. If you take away the human spirit, nothing happens. Take away the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. So it doesn't change our verse here. If you're devoid of either one, the human spirit or the Holy Spirit, you're psychikos. Can't have it any other way. Psychikos, no Holy Spirit, no human spirit, no connection that which is taught by the pastor and that which is understood as spiritual things, as pneumatikos, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. Got to have it. The capability has got to be utilized, and you need to use it in order to grow, in order to strengthen, in order to live the spiritual life. So the unbeliever has no human spirit because he's not been regenerated. And if not regenerated, the Holy Spirit can't indwell and cannot fill. So it doesn't change the verse. The Holy Spirit cannot teach the human spirit, and the psychikos man lacks both. And that's what it means, devoid of spirit. Hope I didn't confuse you. The Holy Spirit cannot teach his human spirit without both pneumas. If you look at Z, you'll see what I'm saying. You got to have them both. It's a little technical. I hope you're following. So in the context of psychikos man of Jude 19, the soulish man, the divider, who is devoid of spirit, is devoid of both the human spirit and the Holy Spirit, and hence has no capability to understand pneumatikos, the spiritual truth of the spiritual life. So if you're void of either one of these, Joe can stand here and rail away all he wants. And it's not going past the ceiling. It's not getting past the front of his pulpit right here. If you're an unbeliever sitting in there, it doesn't matter whether you're missing this one or you're missing that one. This is the first defensive line for the believer in Jesus Christ. First defensive line. Jude is now supplying us as believers with the defense against the false teacher. Remember in Jude 17 when Jude says, remember the words of the apostles? Bible doctrine in the soul is our first line of defense. So the first line of defense is the believer's spiritual things appraised by the spiritual apparatus, the grace apparatus for perception, the stream of consciousness, and wisdom applied. And that's where we get over here into the flat line. There's your first line of defense, right here. The grace apparatus for perception, and not only do you grow spiritually by utilizing this, it's a defense in the spiritual life. It blocks an influx of false teaching and false doctrine. It helps you manage your Christian life because you have the memory center here with a frame of reference. You got a vocabulary storage. You got categorical storage. You're conscious. You have momentum. And you have all this wisdom. Our expanded translation of Jude 19, these apostates are those who cause divisions, troublemakers, soulish, dichotomous, not trichotomous, not having a human spirit, body and soul only. But now Jude gives us a second line of defense for the believer against false teacher and their false teaching, false doctrine. As if one line of defense is not enough, he's going to give us another one. Jude 17, remember? Now you, beloved, members of the royal family, remember, never ever forget the spoken words, the doctrinal truths, which were previously taught by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember. So now we've got two lines. You know, one line in a defense can easily be broken through. So you have a second line. You do defenses in layers. So you got your command post back here. You got to have a second line of defense. That's the way the military operates. You find a weak spot in your defense. You break through. You got a second line. These guys can fall back to here. It's important to have a second line of defense. It's true in the spiritual life as well. It keeps the enemy from overrunning and defeating both an army and your spiritual life. Numerous lines of defense are the way armies operate. These two lines of defense gives the soul defense in depth. And that's what they call this, defense in depth. To hold out against the sustained attack of the enemy, which is false doctrine, the fiery darts of the wicked one. False doctrine can get between the weak spots in your defense. You say, well, maybe your conscience is weak. And it gets through here and it creeps through right here on the edge. Maybe your wisdom. You don't have enough wisdom. Gets in there. You got to have another line of defense because it will disrupt your entire spiritual life when it starts to break through your defenses. And guess what? It's going to send you out in the cosmic system and it's going to spit you out somewhere you don't want to be. Jude 19, these apostates are those who cause divisions, troublemakers, soulless, dichotomous, not trichotomous, not having a human spirit, body and soul. But when you are taking in Bible doctrine, you are building a second powerful line of defense, and it's found in Jude 20 and 21. So as hard as we've hit this, and I hope it's made sense, next week we're going to hit another defense. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Building yourselves up is a second line of defense. And you can't forget praying. Gonna have to cover that while we're there. One, the second line of defense after the grace apparatus for perception is called building yourself up. Two, in other words, that means to build up your spiritual life by adding muscle to it, or to fortify yourself, or to build a fortress in your soul. You probably know where I'm going with that one. A fortress in your soul. And this is different from the stream of consciousness. This is a fortress in your soul against the assaults of false teaching. Three, the focus here is on the consistency of the grace apparatus for perception in order to build up, to build upon. There is no building without gap. It all starts right back here, ends up down here with courage and confidence to apply. Then it comes over here and you got a constant flow, river flowing through. You're building up your defenses. And now we're going to go to another one, the edification complex of the soul. We're going to build that up. Four, by building up, you're shoring up your spiritual defenses. You are reinforcing them and strengthening them. Five, you're building a second trench line of defense while hardening the first defense line, the grace apparatus for perception. So the building is the key, and remembering the building. But along with building, it says here, praying as an active part of your defense, and we can't skip that. Well, I beat it to death. I promise you we won't bring that up anymore. As we finish up verse 20, we've got another defense to hit, and we'll attack it and move on to 22 and 23, and I'll get out of here and give Joe his pulpit back. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to see the truth and how relative the truth is to each one of us. It's also so wonderful and encouraging to see it, how it all fits together, how it all flows together. All we need to do is take the time to study, learn, and grow, and do so under a qualified pastor. We thank you for the one we have here, and we pray, Father, that you'll bring us back again safely this Sunday as we continue with our study of the book of James. And we ask these prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.